Romans chapter 5, verse 8 says this, "But God shows His love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." And so as we bring ourselves to contemplate the sufferings of our Savior, may we more clearly see His love, and may we more fervently seek to know that love, the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, and so be filled with all the fullness of God. If you have your Bibles, would you turn with me to the Gospel of John, and that to John chapter 10. John chapter 10. And we'll be reading verses 14 through 18. Hear God's word. "I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. And I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock, one shepherd. For this reason the Father loves me, because I lay down my life that I may take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it up again. This charge I have received from my Father." Let's pray together. Father in heaven, we come now to hear your voice and to hear you speak. We are your people, the sheep of your pasture. And as we turn our attention to Holy Scripture, would you by your Holy Spirit gravitate our hearts towards Jesus Christ, that we might take hold of Him this evening, fill our hearts with Christ and only Christ. And we ask that anyone here who is without Christ would come to the full knowledge of Christ, that they would be reconciled through Christ to God. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. What Jesus said here in John chapter 10 must have caused those who were listening to be quite taken aback. While the notion of a shepherd was nothing unusual to the people of Israel, in the mind of every Jew, there was really only one true shepherd, one good shepherd. It was God Himself. The Lord God was the one good shepherd. Psalm after psalm testifies to this fact, most notably Psalm chapter 23, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." And even before David uttered those words, we can go even further back to the book of Genesis, to chapter 48, when Jacob confessed that it was God who had been his shepherd all the days of his life. And so for the crowd that had gathered that day around Jesus, their thinking was, this man is a blasphemer. For he claims to be the good shepherd. He alleges to be God. And this is why, notice in your Bibles in John chapter 10, verse 31, it says that the Jews picked up stones again because they wanted to get rid of Jesus. This was a charge of the highest order. This was a crime that was punishable by death. But we're told at the end of the chapter, in chapter 10, that Jesus was able to evade them. Well, beloved, my hope and prayer tonight is that as the wicked lost sight of Him there in John chapter 10, that we would fix our gaze upon Him. What is so good about this Friday? It's because we have a good shepherd. And He tells us in John chapter 10 that He lays down His life for the sheep. In fact, notice that Jesus, He says this several times. Notice in verse 11, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down His life for the sheep." Verse 15, "Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep." Verse 17, For this reason, the Father loves me, because I lay down my life that I may take it up again. Three times in this short amount of space, Jesus spells out for us, I lay down my life for the sheep. Now, in the Hebrew way of thinking, if you say something twice, you mean it to be really important. But when you say something three times, you mean it to be absolutely essential. And so what was Jesus communicating that was of utmost significance? That He laid down His life. And that He did it willingly. And that He did it voluntarily. Now, to any outside observer of the sufferings of Christ, it would have appeared as if Jesus was without any control, that He was helpless, that He was utterly weak and unable to alter His situation. It began with His arrest and onto what was a complete sham of a trial. And then as He stood before the most powerful man in all of Judea, Pontius Pilate, He was then showered with all sorts of ridicule and mocking and scorn. His body was beaten and torn. He was spit upon and was made the object of laughter. It appeared that His fate was at the hands of men. And as the crowd shouted, crucify, crucify. And finally, as He was staked upon the cross, pinned with nails upon His hands and His feet, and as He hung there upon the cross, unable to flee, people called out to Him, come down from that cross. Yet to any outside observer, He couldn't. This man was powerless. And there He died. And when the crowd saw the spectacle that had taken place, they returned home, beating their breasts. You see, it was such a sad and tragic ending to this hopeless pariah. But Jesus here in John chapter 10, He tells us an altogether different story, doesn't He? John chapter 10, verse 18, notice He said, no one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. Which is to say that at every moment and at every turn, there was never a time in which Jesus wasn't in full control. He was laying down His life for the sheep. No one coerced Him. No one forced Him. No one took His life away from Him. As the Good Shepherd, He laid it down. Yes, it was the Father who had sent Him. And it's true that the Father, Romans chapter 8, verse 32 says, gave Him up for us all. But yet, Jesus Christ still came to us from heaven. He came to seek and save that which was lost. A.W. Pink, one of the great Reformed theologians of the past century, he said this, quote, we must never give a place to the dishonoring thought that the Lord Jesus was powerless to prevent His sufferings, that when He endured such indignities and cruel treatment at the hands of His enemies, it was because He was unable to avoid them. Nothing could be farther from the truth. The treachery of Judas, the arrest in the garden, the arraignment before Caiaphas, the insults from the soldiers, the trial before Pilate, the submission to the unjust sentence, the journey to Calvary, the being nailed to the cruel tree, all of these were voluntarily endured. You see, all that Jesus suffered and all that Jesus endured and all that Jesus experienced, He consented. He willingly gave His life for ours. He freely offered it for sinners. He voluntarily laid it down for the sheep. And while it may have appeared to the unwatchful eye that Jesus was helpless and powerless, when you focus and magnify the lens, we see a different story. And there's so many snapshots, and I'll just provide a few. when the Jewish hierarchy stormed the garden in search of Jesus, that they might arrest him. Jesus, he asked, "Whom do you seek?" "Jesus of Nazareth," they said. And Jesus responded, "I am he." And John chapter 18, verse 16 or 6 tells us something very unusual happened. That the band of persecutors drew back and fell prostrate upon the ground. Or how about in John 19 when Pilate responded to Jesus' silence by telling him, "Don't you know? Don't you know that I have the authority either to release you or crucify you?" To which Jesus said, "You would have no authority over me unless it had been given to you from above." So in control was Christ throughout his suffering that while nailed on the cross, he made intercession for transgressors, he saved a dying robber, and he provided a home for his widowed mother. And notice lastly, when he died, John chapter 19, verse 30 tells us that Jesus bowed his head and he gave up his spirit. You see, the natural progression of a dying man would have been to give up his spirit and then to bow his head. But Jesus, our good shepherd, he chose when to die, when after bowing his head, he then gave up his spirit. Which is to say that Jesus didn't simply expire by forces outside of himself, but rather Jesus gave himself over even in death. "I am the good shepherd. I lay down my life for the sheep. No one takes it from me." Now all of this begs the question, what difference does it make? What difference does it make that Jesus willingly and voluntarily gave his life? Well, the answer is, it makes all the difference, and that of an eternal one. If Jesus had not laid down his life on his own accord, God would not have accepted it. Did you hear that? If Jesus did not willingly and voluntarily and freely offer his life, his sacrifice would have been rejected and there would be no forgiveness of sins. Well, why? Well, firstly, God is just. And his goodness and his justice demands that a sinless person cannot die for others unless he willingly offers it up. How could the judge of all the earth forcibly push forward a sinless man to be killed by lawless men? That is not justice. The only way is if that sinless man freely gives himself. And that the good shepherd did. He laid down his life of his own accord. And so if Jesus did not die voluntarily, he did not and could not die for sinners. Secondly, an unwilling sacrifice would have been an imperfect one. You see, only a perfect sacrifice was able to appease God's wrath and provide full atonement on behalf of sinners. If Jesus was unwilling, then it means that his will was not in step with his Father. It means that his will was contrary to that of his Father. But the testimony of Scripture tells us this, that Jesus, being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. And so as it was the Father's will, so it was his will to lay down his life. The Puritan Stephen Charnock, he says this, "His will was as free in consenting as his Father was in proposing." Jesus' willingness to lay down his life was in perfect harmony to the will of his Father. Both Father and Son were perfectly aligned. And here in John chapter 10, verse 15, Jesus tells us that there aren't conflicting wills between me and my Father. just as the Father knows me, Jesus says, I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. Thirdly, if Jesus did not freely and voluntarily give himself, it would not have pleased his Father. Notice in John chapter 10, verse 17, he says, for this reason the Father loves me, because I lay down my life that I may take it up again. Earlier, Pastor Eric, he read from Isaiah 53. And I think it's read best in the King James or the New King James when it says that it pleased the Lord to bruise him. Do you know why it pleased the Lord to bruise him? It's because it was his Son who had laid it down on his accord. Here was his Son making an offering unlike any other offering. Of all the offerings in the Old Testament, were they not unwilling? Fighting and squealing, doing everything in their instinctual power to escape their slaughter. None of the animals, while being chosen, raised their hands to say, pick me, let me be killed for the sacrifice. No. Even when Abraham, in Genesis 22, was given a substitute for his son Isaac, he found a ram whose horns were caught in a thicket. But the offering of Jesus, beloved, was so different. For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. And this pleased the Father. Listen to Ephesians chapter 5, verse 3. And walk in love, as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. As Jesus willingly and freely gave himself up, rather than being a foul stench in the nostrils of God, it was a fragrant offering. It was accepted in his sight. And at the end of the day, what you and I need as sinners is a sacrifice acceptable in God's sight. One who is truly God and truly man. One who is without blemish and without sin. And one who is willing to come and die in our place. That's what you and I need more than anything else in this world. More than financial security. More than any kind of material wanting, more than our physical well-being, more than a husband or a wife, more than children, more than a job or more than a house, we need a good shepherd who is willing to lay down his life for the sheep. It's because apart from him, our souls will perish and we will forever experience the fiery retribution for our sins. We are as sinners estranged from a holy God. Our sin has separated us from Him, and we deserve His wrath and His condemnation. But God in His love sent to us His Son, and His Son willingly and freely and voluntarily gave Himself up. And Christ laid down his life, not just on the cross, but the entirety of his life was an offering of willing obedience. From the cradle to the grave, Jesus laid down his life as a substitutionary sacrifice, where he exchanged with sinners, giving the benefits of his life and in turn absorbing the tortures of our sin. And so he laid down his life. And notice what it says there in John chapter 10, verse 17, that he might take it up again. You see, he died. And he rose again, never to taste death. He conquered sin and death. And just as Christ was willing to lay down his life, was God willing to accept his sacrifice? And here's the thing, that just as God was willing to accept his sacrifice, so he is just as willing to accept you. That with the same willingness God accepted the offering, so he is willing to accept you. If you but come to Jesus Christ. I am the good shepherd, said Jesus, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And notice what he says there in John chapter 10. I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. If you're here and you're not a Christian, do you hear the voice of Christ? Do you hear the good shepherd calling you to come to him, beckoning you to find refuge in him? Listen to his voice. Hear the gospel call. Repent of your sins and place your full trust in him. You know, there's a story in the Gospels of a man who had leprosy, and no one was able to make him clean until he found Jesus. And when he saw Jesus, he fell on his face and he said, Lord, if you will, you can make me clean. And Jesus stretched out his hand and he said, I'm willing. I am willing. And he said, be clean. And it could even be that for so many years, for some of you, you've been going to church. You've been associating yourself with Christians. You've been doing a lot of Christian things, yet you've never responded to the Good Shepherd's voice. You've never come to that place of desperation, having come to an end to yourself, saying, Lord, be my shepherd. I have no other wants. Come to him. Come to him in trusting faith. He's willing. And you see, Christian, as we consider the cross, we need to know that at every point where it looks like Jesus was under constraint, every moment where it looks like he was being coerced to do what he did not want to do, Jesus was choosing it. He was embracing it. The Father and the Son, they were orchestrating it. Now there's one junction that needs to be addressed. And it's Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. Well, he fell upon his face and he prayed. And you remember what he prayed? He said, My Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Not as I will, but as you will. Was Jesus unwilling to die and to lay down his life? You see, beloved, it's really the opposite. If Jesus was unwilling, he would have said, I can't do it. God, my Father, I can't do it. I know that I said that I would, but now that I'm directly facing the cup of wrath, I'm changing my mind, and the only way it will happen is if you force me against your will. But that never came out of Jesus' mouth, did it? What did Jesus pray? If it be possible. In other words, if there's any other way. And that was a completely appropriate prayer for Jesus to pray, because all he had ever known, not only in time in his humanity, but also in eternity in his divinity, was the love of the Father. But by drinking the cup, the full wrath of God was going to be unleashed upon him. And so you have to see the severity of that cup. You have to see the dreadfulness in drinking it, or we will never understand his prayer. If Jesus never wished to have that cup removed, we can reason that Jesus had little to no comprehension of it. But you see, by drinking the cup, God made him who knew no sin to be sin. And yet, what did Jesus pray? He didn't pray, I can't do it. He prayed, not as I will, but as you will. What Jesus wanted, what Jesus willed, was to do his Father's will. He was willing. He was willing to trust his Father's will before he could understand what he was about to go through. The Puritan, Stephen Charnock, he says this, the Father proposed it not with more affection than the Son entertained it with delight. You see, how else could the writer of Hebrews say that for the joy set before him, he endured the cross? Well, you see, Christian, isn't it true that Jesus Christ was more willing to suffer the torments of hell than we are willing to find safety in him? You see, for us as Christians, we too need to listen to his voice. And we should never stop listening to him. He is our good shepherd, and his sheep listen to his voice. As a Christian, would his will be our will? And would we live our lives in true and full obedience? Tonight, may we contemplate the love of our Good Shepherd. And as we close, let me ask, why did Jesus voluntarily give his life? Why did Jesus freely offer himself for us? And the answer is to communicate the depth of his love for you and I. Greater love has no one than this, that one lay down his life for his friends. Beloved, it was to communicate his love to us. Let's pray together. We are so greatly humbled that in sending your Son, he would come to the dregs of our humanity so willingly, that Christ would lay down his life so freely, that he would give himself as an offering, as a sacrifice on our behalf. And so we thank you that full atonement has been made, that sins have been paid, that salvation has been secured. We thank you for our good shepherd who loves us and laid down his life for us, whose will was to do the will of his Father. And may we never lose sight of Christ. May we never cast our gaze away from him. In whose name we pray, amen.